Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your daily bread that you give to us to nourish our souls and our spirits. As you nourish our bodies with physical food, so you nourish our souls and spirits with the food in your word, your true living word. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 3, verse 29 to 31, TPT. After all, is God the God of the Jews only, or is he equally the God of all of humanity? Of course, he's the God of all people. Since there is only one God, he will treat us all the same. He eliminates our guilt and makes us right with him, by faith, no matter who we are. Does emphasizing our faith invalidate the law? Absolutely not. Instead, our faith establishes the role the law should rightfully have. So what is the role of the law? We see that in Galatians 3, verse 23 to 29. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. What promise did Abraham get? It's in Genesis 22, verse 18. The whole story of Abraham being willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar is in Genesis 22, 1-18, but I'm just going to read verse 18. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. This is God speaking to Abraham. The New Testament gives us proof of the statement that the good news of the gospel is available to both Jew and Gentile, to Jews and non-Jews, no matter what nationality you are, basically. And in the early church, the workload was spread among the available workers, as we see in Galatians 2, verse 8 and 9. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. So you can see, even in the early church, they were going, spreading the good news to Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles being non-Jews, that's the rest of the world. I'm just going to set the background for the story in Acts 1 verse 8, NLT. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Jesus speaking to his disciples. And that came true a little bit later, as recorded in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Jewish followers. And then we see someone who is a non-Jew, someone who is a Roman, in fact. In Acts 10, verse 44-48, the whole story is the whole of Acts chapter 10. You can read the whole story yourself. It'll make this message way too long if I read the whole thing. So I'm just reading verse 44-48. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with him for several days. So you can see God is not a respecter of persons. He went to the Jews first because Jesus was a Jew and he used the Jews as a nesting ground for the plan of salvation. But the plan of salvation was for all. And in the next chapter, in Acts 11, verse 15 to 18, Peter reports back about the event with Cornelius. Verse 1 to 18 is the whole story, and I'm only reading verses 15 to 18. As I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. And of course, the famous passage also proves that. John 3, verse 16 and 17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So the world, that means everyone. In fact, I've heard that some deeper meanings means the cosmos. So even if you're out in outer space or in the ocean, wherever you are, it refers to you because you're part of the world, part of the greater cosmos. And so it is plain to see that you are loved, you and I are loved by the Creator of heaven and earth. You don't believe me? It's in John 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And Jesus put it in his own words in John 10, verse 27 to 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. The Father and I are one. And the proof that Jesus is a Jew is in Matthew 1, verse 1 to 16. Verse 1, it says, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And it lists a whole lot of people in his bloodline, in his ancestry. And then it gets to verse 16. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So the good news for the Jews is that their Messiah has already come, and it is the one man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And as it says earlier, going back to John 1, verse 5, as I mentioned, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And since we are reflecting that light, as the moon reflects the sunlight, there is no reason why we can't shine our light, because the darkness cannot extinguish the light. It says so in Scripture. So, shine your light.